I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Coming at you from the ATL, from inside the paint and beyond the arc, this is nothing but Ness, your Atlanta Hawks podcast. Now, here are your hosts, Deshaun Tate and Caleb Johnson.
Welcome into Nothing But Nest, an Atlanta Hawks podcast. Deshaun, don't start laughing. We're already like not even 15 seconds, and not even 15 seconds into the podcast, and I feel like we're headed towards an off the rails type show.
We definitely are.
Thanks for joining us today, Caleb Johnson, and with my co-host Deshaun Tate, as we bring you Nothing But Nest, a podcast covering the Atlanta Hawks, which so many times this year, as me and Deshaun have gotten to do this, you come in, we're coming in smiles and laughing and having fun. I feel like the Atlanta Hawks right now are not a team who's doing too much laughing and having fun. As Deshaun, since we last spoke, well, I guess technically we spoke on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
As we let the people hear from the Dopey Millennial Show that I do with Garrett Chapman and brought you on. But we haven't done this podcast since last Tuesday. The Hawks in that stretch of time have gone 1-3. The one win was the one that had everybody feeling pretty good about this team, beating the Sacramento Kings, who normally you obviously wouldn't be that concerned about. But, you know, we obviously talked about the fact of this Sacramento Kings team, very different. Kevin Huerter, that whole, you know, spiel and everything and pomp and circumstance of having him back in the city. You were feeling good after the win over the Kings. And then looking ahead at the schedule, you saw the Houston Rockets, the Miami Heat, and the Philadelphia 76ers. I personally felt really good about that stretch of games, Deshaun. And yet, here we are, 0-3. This is now the longest losing streak of the season for the Hawks.
Caleb, I'm still upset with you.
Uh-oh, what'd I do?
I'm still upset with you. I'm upset with you still because when we had this conversation on Thursday, I started it out with the whole, you know, stuffing versus dressing thing and the pumpkin versus the sweet potato pie thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I didn't touch that, right? You remember?
Yeah. I know, but because you did not vouch for the truth, which is always and forever so, dressing over stuffing and sweet potato pie over pumpkin pie. See, I just want you to know that I'm mad at you. Well, it's like I'm your girlfriend now. I'm mad at you, Caleb. We got to talk.
Wow. No, but here's the thing, Deshaun, that I didn't tell you that, like, with the fact that was a phone interview, I could not give you facial cues to understand. Yeah, okay. So I had family listening. And the delicate thing about family is, especially as I was doing that show and then heading to Thanksgiving, you have to be very careful what you say before you show up to Thanksgiving lunch.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
my family yeah. does lunch, not Thanksgiving dinner. You have to be very careful that you don't offend aunts. You know,
yeah, stuffing and cousins, such and such, pumpkin pie.
Because, you know, people make stuff. Now, I will, I'll debate you over the pumpkin pie versus sweet potato pie, because that's just a personal preference of mine. You know, I'm sorry. It's just me. And then here's the other one. Stuffing over dressing. I don't care. Throw it all away, because it's just not my, I am not a Thanksgiving food person. Like, you see Caleb over in the corner with one plate. I eat my food. Cool. I'm good. It was delicious. And I go on about my day. Yeah, that's just, it's not me.
I'll leave it there. But how about this? Caleb and Deshaun Tate doing Thanksgiving together on next year.
Oh man,
I would love that.
That would be incredible.
And your family. I understand where you're coming from now, as far as, like, you know, I had to be careful because I didn't want to straddle the fence too much. I'm almost curious to know what they thought about me and that whole thing on the air, which I actually don't now that I think about it. But let's get to the Hawks. Okay, I throw that part out there. One of the things that I had said quite some time ago, there's a couple of things. The first one being that this thing is just not going to look great all the time, Caleb. Mm-hmm. We talked about the moments that we said, this is going to look like they can actually contend for this thing. And then we talked about there's also going to be moments where it's like, okay, what are we doing here? Like, this has been a disaster. It's going to be up and down. Like, you see what's happening? When you woke up this morning, or when you go outside this morning, or whenever you do go outside today, it's not going to look any different than it did yesterday. You know why, Caleb?
Why's that?
Because the sky is not falling.
Mm-hmm.
We're 21 games in on the season. Maybe we're not exactly where we want to be. We're definitely not where we could be also. In my opinion. So I think that they're just, I think it's kind of on schedule. You know, about a week or week and a half ago, we were talking about this team being, you know, a 3 seed, 4 seed. They were in position for that anyways, tied for like 3rd, 4th, somewhere in that range. Now they're like tied for 8th or something in that range. And that's going to fluctuate. That's going to go up and down. That's going to change. That is life. That is the NBA. That is this league. Bogey's going to come back. People are going to feel like they can win the championship. Something else is going to happen. And then it's this league. I think the other part for me, Caleb, too, is that something else that we discussed is we also discussed how this team cannot afford to lose 3 games in a row this season.
That was it.
I talked about that. And while I still believe in that, like, hardcore, I also think that 4 is a definitely cannot do. But 3, while it is a cannot do, it's more of having the mentality of cannot lose 3 in a row. And you also cannot lose 3 in a row during particular times of the season. That is very critical. If you're going to lose 3 in a row, this is the time that you lose 3 in a row.
That's fair. And I think it's important to Deshaun.
The optimism, Caleb?
I got
the
you.
Optimism and the positivity. You got glass half full over here.
Yeah. And I'm glad you have that, because I don't right now. Like, I look at this team overall record. You talk about being 21 games in, 11-10. Now 8th in the East. You're right. 2nd in the Southeast. Because the Washington Wizards now have a better record, technically. I think they're like 7th in the East. The Wizards now have a better record than the Hawks, which is, come on, really? But I think it's specifics. When you get down to what happened in Houston, okay, you coming off the Kings win, you get a team that likes to score a lot of points, but just they're young. Like, this is the Hawks 4 or 5 years ago. I would think not in a really good roster, a lot of potential, a lot of talent, and a lot of taken shots, which sometimes means those shots are going to fall. It's also a thing that happens where I have no idea what DeJounte Murray was doing late in that game when he decides to tap on the head Jalen Green.
Call the him dust up.
Yeah, call him. Well, that's what I was going to ask you. What do you so you call it a dust up? I put in our rundown or kerfuffle. I love using that word. It's fun. But yeah, so you get the kerfuffle with Jalen Green, Kevin Porter, DeJounte Murray, who started it and Trey Young. But the funny thing was, it was DeJounte Murray who started it, who tapped him on the head, who called him little fella, who too small. That was the thing. And then they came after Trey Young, who was, you know, looking like a chihuahua in the situation. And then they took it to Instagram of recording that play. Jalen Green posted, or it might have been Kevin Porter. I think Kevin Porter posted the clip on Instagram of Trey Young walking off the floor after the loss and said, "Look at Lil Fella." And I was like, "Ooh, okay, we have reached call outs on social media." That's going to be fun when these two teams play again. But I think the biggest thing was, and what everyone's focused on, and I don't want to spend too much time on this Rockets game because it was so long ago, but that was the fourth quarter where Trey Young and DeJounte Murray are both trying to go for 40 points. Mm-hmm. Trey gets it with 44. AJ Griffin in that game had shot three consecutive threes to give that team 9 points. That man did not touch the ball again, I think, except for two other times. And one of those instances was literally the final seconds as he chucked up a shot. So it turned into hero ball of Trae Young and DeJounte Murray after the dust up, which led to this loss. It was such a strange one where it looked like Trae Young and DeJounte Murray just decided, we've got the hot hand and we're just going to go at it. Now, Deshaun, are you a guy who looks at it and goes, sometimes it's just their night and they need to do that? Or do you stick more with the mindset of, like, you can't get out of your offensive system no matter what?
Sometimes it's just someone's night. But I'll tell you what I have a bigger issue with. I'm getting this vibe, and you tell me if I'm right, wrong, or just if you get this same vibe, this feel, this energy. Sometimes I feel like the Hawks are just, they're doing too much talking, and that's sometimes what's losing them the games. they're being talked out of their game. They're treating it as if they have something to prove, and it comes off verbally, and it starts looking bad because, as you know, some guys can go out there on the floor and give you 40 and talk a lot of trash, and that's what they need. They need to be able to talk a little trash to you so that it keeps them going. The Patrick Beverleys and the Marcus, yeah, Smart, you know, that type of deal. But then you got guys like Kawhi, who it's like he can give you 40 and it feels even worse because you don't know if this dude is just like a mime or what, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if he talks, and I'm not saying this is him specifically, but there's some guys that can really do their damage quietly, because if they talk, it's easy to talk them out of their game. It's like, you should have just been quiet, because you don't play as good when you start woofing. I just think that part is not a good look for the Hawks, because that's what can tend for them for games to get away from them. That's what tends to happen with, and I love my trash talkers. I love my silent killers. I love my trash talkers. But sometimes that's when I think Trae Young's shot selection starts to change a little bit, when he starts talking and feeling like he's got to prove something.
It does.
Even more so, you've got your silent killers on this team who's been playing really well. That's two guys that, without these two guys and their contribution and their consistency, I can really feel us saying, where would we be in this game? We wouldn't even be in this game. We wouldn't even win this game if it wasn't for these guys. And it's the silent killers. It is AJ Griffin, and it is DeAndre Hunter, the two most consistent shooters on this team, ironically enough, over the course of 21 games. Yeah. Even more so, that being said, I love what the Atlanta swag is. I do. Atlanta's the fancy, it's the, you know, it's ATL. So it's gonna be some country cool and a little bit of trash talk. It's gonna be, but have your own identity. Don't feel like you have to live up to, you know, match the city's energy and vibe necessarily, if it's not gonna add a number to the left side of the result column. That's just kind of how I feel, because if we're just being honest, We shouldn't be talking about a three-game losing streak. We shouldn't be talking about feeling really good after beating the Sacramento Kings, for crying out loud. We shouldn't be talking about, you know, the Atlanta Hawks losing to the Houston Rockets. Bogey or no bogey, okay? That is bogus. Like, you don't, there's certain things, Caleb, that you just don't do.
Yeah.
Losing to the Houston Rockets is one of them. You got to have some pride about yourself. There's some games that you can afford to lose and some that's like, we let that one get away from us and we know we shouldn't have, my bad, that won't happen again. That one does not happen at all if you have some kind of pride about yourself. And I know it's the league and everybody's going to get up. But you are not in this situation, the team that everybody has. Like, you can afford to lose those games, Caleb, when you are, you know, Milwaukee or something, only for this reason alone. Because on your schedule, everybody's got you circled and highlighted on theirs. So if you're going to drop one, we ain't really worried about that one. That's cool. But nobody's going to think Orlando's a better team than us. Nobody's going to think that Houston's a better team. If you're Atlanta and you are now transitioning from being the young Hawks to now the experience. This ain't the little Hawks. This ain't the little Hawks no more. This ain't the, like you said, 2, 3, 4 years ago, whatever. This ain't the Hawks no more. This is a little bit more grown up, maybe not adult, but this is the teenage Hawks. This is the, you know better, 20-year-old in college, got some kind of responsibilities now, Hawks. You got to take care of business against those guys. And that's where I think that was probably the most disappointing game of the season so far.
Absolutely. Which then leads into playing the Miami Heat at home. It's an opportunity. You see the team, like, you want to talk about games that have been circled. You see the team that, for just putting it out there, embarrassed you in the playoffs a season ago. Like, that was the first time that I truly saw, looking into Trae Young's eyes, where it was just like, it was helpless.
He looked defeated.
Yeah.
He looked defeated.
It was helpless. It was like, oh no, I can't fix this. Like, there's nothing I'm going to be able to do, which literally led to an offseason of, we've got to go get Trae Young a helpmate. Like, we've got to go figure this out because of the Miami Heat. The other part of this, Deshaun, was Goody Mob was in the building. I don't know if you noticed that. So I'm a guy, Deshaun, who, big fan of hip hop, and like, it just doesn't always hit me of like, who's still around, who's still making music, who makes it to a Hawks game, things of that nature. I got to, like, interview with some other people, obviously, Goody Mob, dapped them up as they all left, and it was just, like, a surreal experience of, like, wow, like, a real Atlanta legends. The coolest part of it all, I think, was just the fact of seeing those guys weren't at the Hawks game just because the Hawks were like, hey, come perform. And they're like, all right, sure, cool. Like, fine, we'll do it. No. Like, those guys were walking around with, most of them with Hawks jerseys on, but also just wanted to, like, hey, take my picture over here. Like, grabbing the wife and being like, hey, you know, let me get a selfie right here kind of thing. Like, those guys genuinely love the Hawks, which was awesome to see. And then they put on a great halftime performance, and that's where the entertainment left the building at State Farm Arena that night, because the second half of Hawks versus Heat was just, the Hawks could not do anything with the Heat's zone defense, which just blew my mind with how they handled things in the first half. That was a team that did not have Jimmy Butler. So you're thinking, okay, you get somewhat of a break.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And yet, you're missing Clint Capela for a second straight game. Important detail of the Houston matchup and the Heat matchup. But yeah, you get in this position where you had a 16-point lead against the against the Rockets. That went away. You had an 11-point lead against the Heat. That one goes away, and you lose 106-98, and you end your streak of 40 games, DeShaun Tate. 40 games the Hawks had gone in the regular season is scoring at least 100 points, and that snapped their streak. And I got to tell you, it just felt so defeated at that point for the Hawks to go 0-2, because that was not a Miami Heat team that you should have lost to. That was not the Miami Heat team that sent you home in the playoffs a year ago.
Yeah, well, what you have to do in those type of situations is, and I think I mentioned this to you the other day. I've been knowing Trey a little bit, him and his family since he was 16 years old. I've been watching this kid play for a while. He remembers that everything that everybody says about him, which I don't always hate when people are highly critical about him. Because I know how much better that makes him. And I know how much blood in the water he smells, you know, when that happens.
Hold on. So are you telling me, like, being a media member who's in there, who gets to talk to Trey a lot now, so I need to be tougher on him. Because I feel like whenever I talk to Trey Young, I know better than to ask him really tough questions, because he always gets,
he act light skin, Caleb. That's what we call it. That's what we do. We act light skin. I can say that, you can't, but that's what we do.
Right.
No, seriously, I'm just saying what I feel like you're thinking. But regardless, I am on that same line of understanding what you're saying. In that situation, I'm always wanting to say be Caleb Johnson, but I'll tell you what. You know, he is that one that I think that he's heard so much criticism that sometimes when somebody's not being critical, he's hearing criticism. So if it's not, you know, rays of sunshine, dandelions, and whatever, then it's automatically like sounds like heavy metal to him. You know what I'm saying? If that makes sense. So, but I think that the challenges are good for him. And I'm not even sure that he knows that the criticism and the challenges makes him that much better. I'm not sure if he knows that some of the early rumblings that we were hearing about DeJounte Murray taking some of the shine away from Trey, taking some of the bright spots and the bright lights away from Trey. Is Trey? I don't know if he realized that makes him better. And he may, but I believe that he does. Now, I'm not going to sit up here and pretend play radio. You know, we don't do that on this program and act like me and Trey are best friends because we are not. But there's just little things that I've picked up on over the years. And in a city and in a position where it's like he can do no wrong. He can shoot whatever shot he wants from a whole different area or zip code and doesn't matter. I think that the held to be accountable thing is good. We just saw him on last night become or maybe he didn't become this on last night, but I think he recorded his 139th game with 10 or more assists. That ranks all time amongst anyone, especially guards in Hawks history. And you got some really good ones in there.
Yeah.
So.
Sure.
With that being said, I really feel like that the 22 or 20 plus turnovers or whatever it was last night, that can't happen. the Miami game, he has a program in his mind that he wants revenge. Is this a team that has his number? Maybe. You said we didn't have Clint. You said we didn't have, Bogey, obviously. And I think that was the game that John did. John have like 23 or something in that game, yeah, that finally, was, or whatever the case.
Yeah, that was his big game.
That was really good to see. I want to see that two games in a row, but that was really good to see. But even going back to the Houston game, there can't be times when I get it. He's hot. He's 44 points, and Debo Murray, 39 points. He's hot. But the other starters, they were in single digits.
Yeah.
You know, and so I sense different things that I think is going to take some time for us to understand with this team, because they're still understanding themselves. Double O, Oyeka Okongwu, right? The guy who's been struggling to score. How about we call him Double S, struggle to score. The last few games, you're like, that one, Caleb. Was that a good one, Caleb?
Yes, that was.
But that's what we've been seeing. Man. We love Double O, but we also love Double O for who he is. We also love Double O for the responsibilities and the duties that he doesn't have to face when Capella is on the floor. So I just wanted to throw a couple of those things out there, because I think sometimes there's things that we don't always realize. And as well as Okongwu has been playing, he's still learning a lot about, you know, how to do. He relies on Capella a lot, and I think that Capella is a guy that has done a very good job of grooming him for moments when he's not there, but it's clear he's not ready by himself yet.
Yeah, I think that was extremely surprising to learn. Like, that was the big one. With no Clint Capella against the Rockets, against the Miami Heat, you saw, like, just a timid Onyeka Okongwu. It was weird. It was one of those things that I actually joked with another media member. It was, can someone tell him he's playing Giannis? Because the way that Double O defends Giannis Antetokounmpo, it's just like, do that every game. Do it every game, and you would be so talented. And yet, you saw, because here's my other thing when it comes to this team that just drives me insane. And I'm sorry, but it's negative. But this team should never be dependent, win or lose, over Clint Capella. I like the guy. He's very friendly. I think he's very talented. I know he's very good at rebounding the basketball. This team should never lose or win a game based on contributions by Clint Capella. And you saw, I think, two straight games where, especially the Miami Heat, absolutely obliterated them in the paint. And I'm like, where's the Onyeka Okongwu that we've seen this season step up, be strong, physical, active? It wasn't there. And he wasn't it wasn't defensively, it wasn't offensively. So much so.
I don't think that's fair, Caleb.
What do you mean?
I don't think that's fair. Like, we can't say that we shouldn't see this team win or lose games based on the contributions or lack thereof that you get from, like, because he's such a great defensive player and presence. I'm gonna tell you what the problem there is. The problem is probably the other guy who's playing alongside him in the front court, that, you know, you're not gonna get remotely close to that type of, I think you'll get the effort, but you're not. There's things you're going to get from Clint that you're not going to get from John, respectfully to John, because I like John, but I want to like John more. But that's just who Clint is, because Clint's not going to go out there and try and do a whole bunch of stuff. He's going to do the dirty work for this team. And sometimes I think they take advantage of him because they know that he's going to do that. Sometimes I think that they get a little relaxed on the defensive end, on the perimeter, defending players on the perimeter, because they know if their guy just kind of slides past them and gets to the basket, that he's going to be down there to save the day. So, like, I mean, I get what you're saying for sure, but if he's probably the most important piece on this team, because they've made him the most important piece. And again, I'm being very facetious when I say most important.
I
but
got
he's certainly one of the top, because that's how much they have relied on him. And Onyeka Okongwu, like, and I'm sorry, I'm definitely going to give it back to you, Caleb. Totally apologize. But I think that, you know, when you're looking at someone like a Onyeka Okongwu, people may not necessarily love the fact that I call him double S and struggle to score, whatever the case may be. But here's the thing. We've gotten the good thing about that is we've gotten accustomed to seeing him scoring. Like, nobody ever thought, like, think about how you envisioned these players when they first came over. My expectations were not ridiculous for Onyeka Okongwu when he got drafted here. They were not ridiculous for guys, you know, certain players like AJ Griffin, especially this early. Like, these are guys that have shown up and showed out, and I'm still waiting on Jalen Johnson to get it together. Like, they have exceeded anything that him or Cam Reddish or some of those players have ever done in a Hawks uniform so far, in my opinion. But I say the things that I say about them criticizing, especially like calling Onyeka Okongwu double S, is because he's played so well that he's given us all a good reason to feel like we know what we're going to get from you every single night. So I just kind of wanted to throw that out there. Really sorry, Caleb. I just it was bothering me.
That's that's a really fair point. It's just, I think it's tough though. When you look at that and you start thinking about how this team has been constructed to play this season, especially when Clint Capella goes down and you're reliant upon Frank Kaminsky. And I think we've now learned through just a few games, Frank Kaminsky, not that guy. Not that guy, like, might not be on this team much longer because it was that bad. He was a revolving door for Dwayne Dedmon.
Yeah.
And I think once you reach that point, you talk, like, I guess my thing is I don't want a team that is that reliant upon Clint Capella. But you're 100% right that currently this team is. Deshaun, on the other side of the break, there's just something I keep seeing everywhere that we've got to talk about, simply for the fact of I need people to calm down and realize the facts. We'll talk about it after the break.